So this is an open podcast to Jack Dorsey, who is the CEO of Twitter and a smart guy and someone who was using the web in the early days and who has a vision and can see, I think, beyond his own vision to how it connects up with the rest of the world. So anyway, Twitter is great. And, you know, I've had my, let's say, concerns about Twitter over the years, but I've been using it steadily since 2006. It's influenced my writing style for better or worse, sometimes for the worse, sometimes for the better. And so I'm like really intimately familiar with it and its limits. And every product has to have limits. I mean, they are defined as much by what they don't do as what they do. Because if a product tries to do everything, then it won't do anything. And so you have to say, you know, I do this and I don't do that. And that's, life's filled with things like that. I mean, there are all kinds of people in the world that I will never be. I never would be, never could be. And that's just the way it is. You know, there's 7 billion people on the planet, and every one of them is having their own life and their own experiences. And I don't know, I'm only getting to live my life. And that's, but however, how I plug in to the rest of the world is also part of who I am, very much part of who I am. So, for example, I've moved a number of times in my life. I've lived in a lot of different places. Right now, I live in the country, outside of, you know, 2 hours north of New York City. And it's very, very different from where I lived before, which was the middle of Manhattan, right on, you know, right outside Columbus Circle near Central Park, on all, like, all the West Side subway lines went basically right under my building. I mean, it was, and I rode bikes, and I didn't own a car, and I shopped at Whole Foods, and food was delivered to me. It was something kind of nice. One of the, probably, I mean, that's how it works in Manhattan. No, very few people have cars, and you're certainly not willing to take your car out just to go buy food. So that whole system has developed in a different way in a city like New York. So, okay, so here's Twitter, and Twitter is 280 characters per tweet, no titles, no HTML, you can't edit your posts. I'm just sort of checking off all the things that define what Twitter is and isn't, okay? Which is way different from what Facebook is. Facebook has unlimited number of characters, like Twitter, no HTML, no titles, I guess that's about it. Medium, another platform. Depending on whether you come in through the API or not, you can or can't edit. If you come in through the API, you can't edit. So if you want to do serious writing, because web writing changes. I mean, that's just the way it is. You learn as a piece goes out into the world, you get back information from the people who read it, and that may add you, cause you to add stuff or edit, or just reading it over and over again, which is something that I do throughout a day. I tighten it up and, you know, make it better. I like to publish it quickly, and then, you know, an RSS, another great example, another platform just equal to any of these others, and but different. And RSS has full style and HTML, and posts can optionally have titles. However, there's no editing. So once a piece is out in the world, it's out in the world. I'm sure some platforms will watch for changes and update their view of the posts, but you don't assume that. And for most people, they read the first version of what you wrote and they never see any updates. So, I mean, if you were to create a matrix of features, we love to do that in the early days of PCs. If you went down to visit Microsoft, for example, they made these tables, and along the left-hand edge were features, and off along the top edge were names of products, and then boxes had checks, so they didn't have checks, and sometimes they had a little note in them or whatever. InfoWorld had these tables so that when they reviewed products, they could just put the matrix up and they could show you how it compares. You see these all over the place, not just in software. You know, Consumer Reports has them too, and Actually, you see them on Amazon as well. So there's a natural tendency to categorize, and then that helps you see the diversity. So the nice thing about the web, the thing that I loved about the web, and I think Jack probably did too when he first started out, you know, as I did before any of this stuff was developed, with this wonder of this thing called the link that would allow sites to integrate with each other. And in a very crude, simplistic way, I had been working on APIs for applications before that for years. And had learned a lot about how to connect up word processors and databases, outliners, and programming languages, object databases, all kinds of hardware devices. You know, this is what I had immersed myself in between, let's say, 1988 and 1992 or so. And along comes the web, and it could do almost none of that. I mean, none of it, really. But it did have the link. And the thing that it had that the Mac didn't have is it had understandable, easy, and clonable networking. The Mac made networking insanely, both incredibly easy and incredibly difficult at the same time. It was incredibly easy to create a hard, you know, to take a bunch of Macs and string wire between them and network them. I mean, it literally was just that. You know, run wire between the computers and they could see each other. And then you could access their hard drives and, you know, some you could manage permissions and some of them would be servers and some of them wouldn't, you know. In a perfect, totally trustworthy environment, everything would be available. But we know there is no such thing, so you have to have the permissions. So where Apple had that kind of ease of use for setting up the networks, the software, however, the APIs were, let's just say they were impossibly difficult to implement unless you had were given a special sort of pass by, I don't even know, actually. You see, that's the problem. I'm fumbling around in the dark. I know I spent a good couple of years trying to build a basic capability of LAN connections into my Mac product in that period of 88 to 92 and failed. I mean, it wasn't the only thing that I worked on, but I tried over and over and over again to get it done. And yet there were products out there there were email products. CE Software had one, Think Technologies had one, a company called Internet had one that became Microsoft Mail. Thinks became Symantec, which was the company that I sold out to, and CE. I'm not sure what happened there. I think they went public. But they must have either been better hackers than I was, better at reading the documentation, or they got help from Sid Hu, who was the czar of networking at Apple at the time. So along comes the web and the internet, you know, but the web is an API on top of the internet and it just couldn't be simpler. You just move around chunks of data and that's it. Let me just go to this address. Get me this chunk of data here. I'll give you the address on your server. Give it back to me and then I'll figure out what to do with it. And then on top of that, there was a language called HTML, which was a display language and a text language and it had linking and throw out all the other great stuff that Apple had because it all became mostly irrelevant, and certainly in comparison to the web, because anybody could put up a server on the web, and you did, and it was easy, and you didn't need to ask permission. Whereas Apple had it tightly locked down and controlled. They only wanted certain. This was a Steve Jobs line. You know, he said things like, "Well, we can't just let anyone develop for our platform." I heard him say that. I thought he was saying it about me at one point, believe it or not. It is one way to do it, that's for sure. It yields a certain kind of result. So anyway, this is a long-winded way of saying that, okay, here we are in 2019. It's almost 2020, right? Twitter's been around since 2006, 14 years old. It is established in the world. We know what it is. At this point, we know what Twitter is. It's not speculative. it's incredible what it is. It's the place where politics and news happens in the world. You know, leaders of countries go to make their statements on Twitter, and they say it in the news. He said it in a tweet. And, you know, it still sounds funny. I mean, it's one of these sort of infections that the founders of Twitter put into our culture. They chose an absolutely incredibly silly word for something that actually turns out to be not silly whatsoever. I mean, and yet people still have to say it. And I swear to God, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one, but it still sounds silly to me when people say it. I feel silly when I say, oh, yeah, I posted a tweet about that, you know. But there you have it. It's there. It's done. Okay? I think we've been hearing from Twitter consistently that it will never become a blogging system. That it won't, you know, a blogging system has another matrix, another column of features that, you know, distinguish it. The items can have titles. You can edit it. They have feeds. They can be long. They're not limited to 280 characters. They don't have any of the limits that Facebook has. And because blogs because blogs live on the open web, they inherit the basic property of the web is that they can really be anything you want them to be. There are certain things that you even must do in order for you to fit into the blogging world. Basically, support RSS. I mean, that is good enough. That gets you, that you become a blog at that point. And RSS is flexible enough so that it can represent pretty much all of these kinds of, you know, all the checkboxes. But, and whether or not you allow updating, that has nothing to do with the format. That just is whether or not you allow updating. By the way, there are good reasons why Medium doesn't allow updating. I'm not going to get into them now. I'm not saying that they're wrong to not allow it. It's just that the fact that they do. Then you have to ask the question of Twitter. Okay, so we know what you won't be. Okay? But the things that you aren't are important. The ability to write at length, the ability to use the styling features of the web, the ability to link, the ability to put a title on a post, the ability to revise. I'm sure I'm leaving out some huge important things, but these are things Twitter doesn't do. So the question is, how are we going to link these things, Jack? You know, we can't just keep going on decade after decade pretending that the whole world is Twitter because we know it's not. It wasn't at the beginning, it wasn't in the middle, and it isn't now. It isn't the whole world. There's a lot more expression to do. And Twitter has very limited ability to bridge between different environments. So the question really I throw out to Twitter, and I'm not going to answer it for them. It's not, I don't live inside of their development organization. I mean, it's a silo. I know it's kind of a dirty word, but it's the truth. And it means that what happens inside Twitter is up to the company Twitter, and I have no say in that whatsoever. On the other hand, I'm a writer, and in 2017, another story for another day, I decided to stop trying to write for all the different platforms, and it worked out great. My blog got a complete new breath of fresh air, freedom, flow, and with a 280 character limit now, it actually, there are meaningful bridges that I can create between my blog and Twitter, and I do. But I want to create more. And I want to have a whole world that evolves where there isn't this resistance to new ideas. Because the way things are right now is not acceptable. In order to put out a new idea, you have to work for a big company. And if you look at the history of technology, it doesn't work. What happens is the times of great growth are when individuals can try out lots and lots of ideas and compete in ideas, not just in whatever it is, we limited things we can compete on these days, very, very limited things. And that's when you get the huge growth. But we really stopped the growth here too soon, and we need to get back onto the growth path. And so I would say that Twitter is in a very unique position to create something greater than itself and still grow. In fact, grow even more because it has defined its place in the world. See how that's connected? If you're not going to be everything to everybody, but you haven't defined your place in the world, you've left a really important question unanswered. And we can't evolve, seriously, as a species, we can't evolve until that question is answered. And that's why we've been so stuck. So, and I would like to get unstuck, and it's all going to be done iteratively and experimentally, and it's got to be, we have to create an environment where people expect evolution, experimentation, mistakes, things going backward, in some circumstances, ideas that didn't work out. So you wouldn't do this on Twitter itself, but you would do it in a way that connects nicely to Twitter. Anyway, so that's it. That's my idea for today, my pep talk, my sermon, whatever you want to call it. And thank you for listening. Bye-bye.